Always good to get home. The older you get, the better it is to get home. Last Sunday, we met with a little congregation at in Novato. There were 10 souls there. There was two men, myself and Clarence, Theta's dad. He hadn't been for 2 months, and he was thrilled to go. But anyway, we sat around the table. We had tables put together, and that's where we sat and had the whole worship right there around the table. So guess who got to start the songs, teach the class, wait on the table, pass the emblems, and the preaching, I decided I used my Proverbs outline, and so we just went through, we did it twice. So, but anyway, kind of reminded me of older times when we went to some congregations that were very small like that. But anyway, it's good to be back, and we're starting a lesson for the next 2 months, and we're going to continue in the book of John. This will be session two in the Gospel of John, and if you remember, a year ago or so, we went through the first chapter and the first 11 verses, I think, of the second chapter. And so we're going to pick up with that. But I thought before we start with that lesson, I made this little map mainly for myself to look at, and then I tried to put it on PowerPoint. It's going to be a little bit small. If you really want to see it, you need to move up to the front to see all because I want to look at these terrestrial travels of Jesus during his period of preparation. Now, the period of preparation would be when he became 30 years old, and it's kind of what we studied in the first session, was the period of preparation, when he went down and was baptized and all that. So I just wanted to get a kind of a graphic, geographical picture of where Jesus went. Now, we can't trace all of his travels, only what's recorded in the Scripture. So, if you look at this map, it's going to be hard to see, but it all began at Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, where he was born. And, you know, you probably won't be able to see that. It's right down in there. It's got a little yellow circle with a red number in it to go along with the number. You'll be able to see when we start tracing the places that he went. But it all started in Bethlehem, and it was prophesied back in Malachi, the 5th chapter in the 2nd verse, and it was also announced by the angels in Luke, the 2nd chapter, verse 11, where it said, For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then, adhering to the law of Moses, we find that Joseph and Mary, they took Jesus, the baby Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then after a period of time, I think they went back down to Bethlehem. And after a period of time, then these wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. They were seeking him who has been born King of the Jews. We read about that in Matthew chapter 2. And of course, when the wise men's inquiry reached the ears of King Herod, he immediately devised a scheme with them so that they would let him know the whereabouts of this baby Jesus. He wanted to know where baby Jesus was at. And so, but then when they deceived him, well, the king became exceedingly angry, and he set about to kill all of the male children in Bethlehem 2 years old and under. And so at this point, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream, and he said, "Take the young child and his mother to Egypt to escape the wrath of the king." Now maybe you can begin to see something, the way. So when the map's all completed, we'll kind of be able to see where he went. He went down into Egypt. And then after a while, Herod died. And then the angel of the Lord came back to Joseph, and he said, he told him to bring the young child and his mother and go back to Israel, for the danger is all past. But on the way, God warned Joseph to bypass Jerusalem, and so they went to Nazareth in Galilee. And, of course, Nazareth was the hometown of Mary and Joseph and Mary, and for Jesus and all, until he began his earthly ministry. But then when Jesus was 12 years old, is the next movement that we have of him. And when he was 12 years old, his parents took him to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover. And this was just an annual custom that they followed. And in Luke chapter 2, we read about that. But, you know, just in thinking about this, is it possible that that this Passover was special to Jesus or for Jesus? And why would I ask that question? Do you see where I'm going? He's 12 years old. And this is the only, and he's probably went with his parents when he was younger too. But this one is mentioned. Yeah, and that's exactly what I tried to find out, and I couldn't find. Some Jewish sources claim that every male Jew from the age 12 and up are expected to attend the Passover in Jerusalem. Now, others have said maybe it was 18 or 20, but I was just wondering if that was it. But anyway, what was the purpose of compulsory attendance at the feast for the males? What was the purpose of that? Why did they have to go once a year for this Feast of the Passover?
Well, they had to eat the Passover, and they had to remember how God destroyed the first death and firstborn of the Egyptians and brought them out of Israel and or out of Egypt and saved the firstborn of the Israelites.
Yep.
Well,
I think that's probably the primary reason to commemorate, and I got down, the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And there's two words in that stuck in my mind, and that is deliverance and bondage. And remember, this is when Jesus, at this occasion, he chose to commence being about his Father's business. So was deliverance and bondage something that involved the Father's business? It was, wasn't it? I mean, isn't that what the Bible's all about? Hasn't God has always tried to deliver his people out of trouble and problems? And he's still trying to do that today. And I thank him for it. We thank God that he is trying to do that. But Jesus, so he used this, 12 years old, but it caused some problems on their trip home. But however, Jesus obeyed his parents, and he went home with them and continued, said, to grow in wisdom and stature and was favorably regarded by God and man. Then we come up, we don't hear any more about Jesus until he gets to age 30. And about age 30, Jesus traveled to Bethany, beyond Jordan. And that's where he was baptized by John. And, you know, we studied that in the first chapter. You also can find this in Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3, chapter 3. And then immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness of Judea to be tempted by the devil in Mark chapter 1 and verse 12. And probably this was the wilderness, the same wilderness that John the Baptist, where he was preaching for the people to repent. And it probably was somewhere between Jerusalem and Bethany beyond Jordan. So after his temptation, Jesus returned to Bethany beyond Jordan. And there he started putting together a band of disciples. And that was quite a bit of what we were, a lot that we were reading or studying in the first chapter of John. And he was trying to train those disciples so that there he would have apostles that could deliver the gospel message to the people. And then in a very short time after that, Jesus went to his home region of Galilee, and that's where he found Philip and Nathanael, two more disciples. So shortly after returning to Galilee, Jesus attended the wedding feast with his mother in Cana. And there's where he performed his first public miracle, at least. Then after the wedding feast, Jesus went to Capernaum, which eventually became his home base for his Galilean ministry. So here we have, with all these red lines, kind of geographically illustrated the travels of Jesus as he went through his period of preparation. And that brings us down to this second session that we're beginning this morning on the Gospel of John. I'm not going to really be using PowerPoint in this lesson. This will probably be the only time, and that's why I set it up here. But the period of preparation was, as we studied in chapter 1 and the first part of chapter 2, we've got one more verse that will finish that, what's called, commonly called, the period of preparation. And then it's going to go into the first year of his Judean ministry. Now, a point about that. And we talked about the difference between Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which is the synoptic gospels, and the Gospel of John. Do you remember what some of the differences were between those? I mean, you can read them, and you can see differences. I mean, there was just a different type of lessons that were given. And we did say that basically the Matthew, Mark, and Luke were talking about more about physical history about Jesus. And then John is talking more about the spiritual lessons that are involved. But besides that, the three synoptic gospels mainly focused on the Galilean ministry of Jesus. That is this northern part of, we can see here's Galilee up here around Cana, and then we have Samaria in between, and then Judea is down here. Well, the three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, mainly talked about what he did up in this area. But John mainly talks about what he does in Jerusalem and in Judea. So as we move into this early part, the early ministry of Jesus, we're going to start in verse 12, John chapter 2, and in verse 12. This will finish up the period of preparation. Someone read verse 12.
After this, he went down to Capernaum, he, his mother, his brothers, and his disciples, and they did not stay there many days.
Okay, so let's focus on this verse just for a little bit. But what's the meaning of going down to Capernaum?
Well,
geographically, exactly. So I put a topo map up here, topographical map of Galilee, and it's turned sideways, so the north is to that way, and Jerusalem is down on that side. But if you can see, Capernaum is located down on the Sea of Galilee. But then we find that Cana and Nazareth, they're situated in the hill country, just to the east of Capernaum. And they are about, get that going the right direction. They are about 10, 12 miles east up in the hill country. So they actually did. They went down to Capernaum. And then also, it talks about Jerusalem, going up to Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem is up a little bit higher too. So they kind of went by elevation when they used those terms. This is what I felt was interesting. Who went with him?
Well, his family.
His family. And who else?
His disciples.
So that's what I put down, his physical family and his growing band of disciples. But let's look at each one of those. His mother. What's his mother's name?
Mary.
Okay, during Jesus' ministry, when is Mary next mentioned? At the cross. And I, until I studied this, I hadn't come to my thought and mind. But it's at the foot of the cross is the next time that she is talked about being somewhere. Now, she's mentioned as being his mother, but actually putting her somewhere. Ben sounds, looks like he's got another.
I'm thinking there's one other time. Isn't there a situation where he is teaching and his mother and brothers come and look for him?
Well, they said, yeah, they said your mother and brothers are here. He said, who is my mother?
I guess maybe we were looking for a little bit more physical, like, okay, you know, Mary is here at a certain place,
point,
but...
Your point still is true.
So yeah.
Her role in the ministry of Jesus is
not... Yeah. So, do you ever wonder why there's no mention of Joseph? Probably did. I think that's exactly right. And when was he last mentioned in the scriptures? That's it, yeah. When he was 12, there at the temple. That's the last mention we have of Joseph. And, of course, most scholars agree that he died before the Lord began his ministry. And I think this belief, if somebody would turn to John 19, verses 26 and 27, I think this belief is confirmed by Jesus on the cross when he charged John to provide a home for his mother.
John 19 and what?
26 and 27.
When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he brought standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." From that hour, that disciple took her to his own
mind. Okay. So, I mean, that would almost... to me, that's good confirmation that Joseph is gone and he's not available to take care of his mother. Okay, then, Ben, go ahead.
There is one other mention of Joseph, but it's not him physically.
Yeah.
Jesus is reading from Isaiah and going, "Don't we know this guy? Isn't this Joseph's son?"
Okay, yeah.
So he's mentioned.
It is mentioned. But no appearance, I mean, in the history. Yeah, okay. Next, let's look at his brothers. Now, what some of the old King James has what? Does anyone have that? Or it says brethren. And some of the older translations had brethren. But brothers really keeps more with the Greek. Now, we have to realize that there are some religions that claim that Mary was a perpetual virgin. In other words, having no other children after Christ. But when you look at that the New Testament Greek, it's really precise concerning this matter, because that word brothers, it's really talking about the Lord's fleshly brothers and sisters. And that word is always adelphos. And that means brothers and sisters. And the root word is Delphos, which means the womb. So I think that pretty much says that these are the boys and the girls that came from the womb of Mary. And sometimes they try to use the word cousins or kinsmen instead of brothers to get around that. But that's an entirely different... two different Greek words entirely. Now, Jesus' brothers are mentioned about 9, maybe 10 times in the scriptures, in Matthew, and I've got those scriptures down, but we won't read them right now. But most of those references speak of them in connection with his mother, and they're tied in with Mary along. And so after Jesus, she had at least 4 other sons besides her daughters. And the 4 brothers, what were their names?
James, Judas, Simon,
Joseph. Joseph, that's right. James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. However, none of the accounts tell us anything about how many sisters he had. or what their names were. But from what we know of our Lord's fleshly brothers, at this point in time, and this point in time is talking about when he first started his ministry, he went back to the wedding feast at Cana, and then they went up to Capernaum together. At this point in time, do you believe that did they believe in Jesus as the promised Messiah? No. Someone read John, the 7th chapter, verses 3 through 5. John 7, 3 through 5.
His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brothers did not believe in him.
Okay, so they didn't even believe in him at this point. However, you know, and it seemed like that they even resented his intrusion when he brought his disciples and came into Galilee. But we know later in the scriptures, it refers to what? At least one brother, James, the Lord's brother, as a believer and probably a good worker in the Lord's church. I don't know that we know of any others, do we? Or that's all I could think of. Okay, his disciples. When it says his disciples, a disciple is what? A follower. So his followers, those who were adhering to him and following him. It appears that when they were at Capernaum, this real early in his ministry, we have Andrew and Peter and John, the writer. That'd be John, the son of Zebedee, who later became an apostle. And then Philip and Nathanael. Now, Nathanael was, who do we know him more as?
Bartholomew.
And that would be the same one. So, if we back in Mark, the first chapter in verse 29, it may infer that part of this group stayed at the home of Peter there in Capernaum. Because Capernaum was the home of Peter and Andrew, and I think James and John also. But why did Jesus go to Capernaum? There may be a couple of reasons on this, and we'll look at. But I think that it appears that he selected Capernaum maybe as his home base when his ministry was up in Galilee. That the Galilean part of his ministry, he usually stayed at Capernaum. And in Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 12 and 13, it tells us that after Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, and we've already shown that, and here's what that verse said. After John the Baptist was delivered up to prison, Jesus withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt at Capernaum, which is by the sea. Now, I was having a little trouble on the chronology on that, but at first I thought it said when John the Baptist was put to death, but it didn't say that. It doesn't say that. It just said when he was delivered to prison. So, do we believe, or is this the case, that John the Baptist was delivered to prison fairly shortly after Jesus was baptized and started choosing his disciples? I never had that sense, but now I'm feeling like it happened pretty quick that he was put in prison. And then this seems to be maybe one of the reasons that Jesus withdrew into Galilee and went to dwell in Capernaum. So he dwelt in Capernaum like that was his home base. So apparently Jesus never returned to Nazareth. That was his hometown of Nazareth. He never returned to Nazareth to live, only to preach. And when he did go back and preach, what happened? He was rejected. He was rejected by his own neighbors. So that's probably a good reason why he didn't set up his home base there in Nazareth, his hometown, but he went to Capernaum. So how long was this first visit? Well, we really don't know in the number of days, but we can say that, what, not many, can't we? Just not many, because it says that they just spent a very short time there. So after spending a few days, and we'll do the map one more time, after spending a few days in Capernaum, they joined the pilgrims going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And here's the second time that it tells us about Jesus going to the Passover. I feel like he went every year, probably, as he was supposed to. But this is the only time, the two times that we're told that it happened. And so this is the end, then, of what is called the period of preparation. Because when Jesus arrives at the Passover, we're going to find him boldly coming out and declaring himself to the Jewish rulers, and in no uncertain terms. And I think this is the beginning of his public ministry, and he begins to become known to the multitudes of the people from this time forward. Okay, any comments about just going that far and kind of a summary? It's kind of been a summary this morning. But okay, the next we're going to be going into this first year of his public ministry, and this would be his early Judean ministry, which we're going to read about in the second chapter of John, verses 13 through 25. But first, we're going to focus on the story of the cleansing of the temple, which starts in verse 13 down through 17. And this is the account about Jesus purging the temple. Now, there's one thing about the purging of the temple. How many times did he have to purge the temple?
Twice.
And this, then, I think we would definitely say this was the first time that we read about here in the second chapter of John, when he, right after his miracle in Cana. And when was the next time? Okay, remember back, it's over in Matthew, the 21st chapter. So this is getting down toward the end of his ministry. He is marching into Jerusalem in a triumphal entry, and right before his crucifixion, and he notices that they're contaminating their messing with the temple again in a way that they shouldn't. And he goes in and he does it again. Now, when you read those two accounts, yeah, a lot of it is the same, but there's some things that are different in one and the other. So I think it's enough to tell us that definitely there were two times that they cleansed the temple. Okay, we've just got 5 or 6, 7 minutes, but someone go ahead and read verses 13 through 17.
The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their table. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. Poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their table. Through which?
17, down through 17.
And to those who were selling the doves, he said, "Take these things away, stop making my father's house a place of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me."
Okay. So we could look at that, and we could go over it here in the next 5 or 6 minutes, but knowing the way we've been going through John, we're not going to do that. So we're going to go look at it a verse at a time. And in verse 13, said, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand." And so Jesus went up to Jerusalem as a good Jew, as the Jews were required to do. So let's just look at the first phrase, "the Jews' Passover was at hand." So this is that annual celebration at Jerusalem. We've already talked about it a little bit. And we kind of said what the purpose of the Passover was. But someone read Exodus 12 and 14. This is where they were given the instructions of what to do.
"Exodus
Exodus 12:14.
So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance.
Okay. So this is the first of how many times did they have to go to Jerusalem? Three times. There was three feasts that they had that it was mandatory for the males to attend. And the first of these is the feast of the Passover. And this is the feast, one of the great annual feasts that they had to go to, and it was in the month Nisan, and that would correspond with March and April in our calendar, somewhere in there. And it was from the 14th day of Nisan to the 21st day. Now, the Passover itself, the feast of the Passover, was just one day, and it was the first day, the 14th, is when they observed what they call the Paschal Supper. And then that was followed with a week of eating what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. And then at the end of that period of time, that week, then the feast of the unleavened bread was on the 21st. So you had two feasts that were together there, but the feast of the Passover was the one that they were that they must attend. And as we said, the purpose was to keep in remembrance the Lord's passing over the houses of the Israelites when the firstborn of all the Egyptians had been destroyed. And you know, I was just thinking about that thought of what happened and the Passover feast and about Christ's ministry. But, you know, I've noticed that throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, the focus is on God saving His people when they're in trouble. And that's kind of like the statement that we made earlier, but it's about God saving His people when we're in trouble. And how often are we in trouble?
A lot.
A lot. Every day, actually. I mean, even when we become Christians, we still have problems and troubles, and we still have to battle against the desires that Satan places within us and entices us with. So we still, God is still working, and He's got a plan, and it's a great plan, His plan of grace, and we're just so thankful that He has given that to us. Yes. That's a good question, but I don't have an answer because I don't.
The temple was full of thieves and, you know, money changers.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be getting into that and looking at what was actually going on there, and the reason it was going on was because all this big influx of people, and I don't know. I've never seen a number. I've never seen an estimate even of how many people came to Jerusalem to the Feast of the Passover. Has anybody ever run onto that anywhere? I have no idea, but we know it must have been a fairly large number.
They surely wouldn't have had enough, we call them motels or inns for everyone. I guess they just opened their homes up.
I suppose, and weren't they sort of nomadic people anyway? They probably had their tents and things like that they could... this camp, but there was a need for a lot of money and items and things like that. So I can see where it was an economic boom for Jerusalem, but not a boom the way that they were doing it. And Jesus lays the boom on them for that. But we're going to pick up with verse 14 then next week, and we'll continue on this thought. So if you want to read ahead in that and do some thinking on that, that'll be great, because I need help in the comments. Anything else that you want to mention before we close the class this morning?
No.